The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. Well, as I said, today is slightly different. We are sort of thinking back over the last year or so, think about where we are now and thinking about the future. And I wonder if you were to think about what have been some of the standout moments for you in the last 12 months in your life here at St. Peter's. Perhaps you're new to St. Peter's and you think, well, I'm not quite sure. Or maybe today's your first Sunday with us. Or perhaps there's been particular things that have happened, or conversations you've had with people, or something from the readings that have resonated, that have spoken to your life in some way. I've been thinking about this quite a lot this week, and some of my highlights, and I'll talk about that a bit more later on at the APCM. But I think there's probably too many to list. But I think what I've really enjoyed has been time together with my church family. That's been the highlight for me. And obviously we do that in all sorts of different ways, don't we? We do that like we're doing now in an act of worship, gathering together on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day, to praise him and to hear from the Bible and to pray. But it's also been those sort of more intimate times of prayer, like on our monthly prayer service, or other times praying with people who perhaps are going through all sorts of things in their life. Maybe it's just been sitting down and having a catch-up with someone at the rectory or somewhere, or meeting up for coffee, or going on a walk with a group, chatting, working as a team, something that's given me real life, working as part of a team. Like yesterday, we had a great fun over in the hall. We had a craft event, and you might be wondering what this big display is over here. That's a big mate that we made yesterday, sort of our arts and crafts afternoon, where everyone... Each one of those different marine creatures was produced by a different person who came to this arts and crafts thing. So from the youngest to the oldest, everyone produced stuff. And at the back, on the way out, you'll notice there's a whole load of other stuff as well. Just working as part of a team has been so joyful, particularly when we welcome new people in as well. I think other highlights have been stuff like our AV system, and being able to live stream for people as well, people at home watching or watching later on as well, and being able to reach out in these new ways with the love of God. Other highlights have been welcoming new friends, getting to meet new people. It's been great that we've got these welcome packs now that we can give out to people and help them to see how they can possibly find their place here in our church family. I've been trying to spend more time coming along to the toddler group on Friday and meet some of the new people that have been coming along, and again seeing the team serving there, and great fun. And if I get to hold a baby, that's even more enjoyable as well. Yeah, oh, let me take them for you, you know, give them a cuddle and then hand them back at the end. That's great. So that's been wonderful. It's been great to see people coming for baptism, people like mixed baptism the other week on Palm Sunday. It's great to see things that, and connecting through different events, but also seeing people grow I've been able to witness people grow over the last year, growing in terms of they are praying more, talking about prayer, coming along to the prayer meetings, reading the Bible more, coming along to things like Alpha and the Bible study group. That's been a real highlight. But another real highlight has been seeing people loving one another well in hardship. And it's always a sign that things are going well if I'm not having to get involved in every pastoral situation, because actually you guys are doing it. You're keeping an eye out on people who are going through tough times. You're phoning them up. You're going to see them. You're taking them things that they need. That's a sign of a healthy church where I'm not having to do it all, but actually we're getting on, we're doing it as a family. And it's worthwhile reflecting on this tagline that we like to say here at St. Peter's, that we are a family church with Jesus at its heart. We are a family church, and we are a church family. So we are a family church because we're made up of all sorts of different families, but we are a family. Through Christ, we are brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, sons and daughters. We are a family church, but what sets us apart is we have Jesus at its heart. He is here with us, helping us, speaking to us, guiding us. I wonder what your highlights would have been. Perhaps you might want to share that after the service. But where are we now? Well, that's a good question. As I pray and as I look around, I think as a church, I think we're in, and what I describe, I think we're in a stable place. I think there are a lot of things that are happening that are going well, and we want to build on those. I think stable is a good description for it. We're in a firm standing, and we are taking seriously, I hope, the fact that we are united in Christ. We are a family church with Jesus at its heart. But I think there are a couple of things that we need to think about. The first one is how we grow. Every church should be a growing church. If a church doesn't grow, it's a bit like a plant. If you have a plant in your garden and year after year it stays exactly the same height, there's something wrong with that plant. It's probably not too healthy. In fact, it's probably going to die. If a plant doesn't grow, it doesn't just stay the same, it actually withers. So a church, just like a plant, needs to be growing. Now, it grows numerically, it grows in depth, grows in all sorts of different ways, but it needs to be a growing church. But there's challenges associated with being a growing church, aren't there? It can be quite costly. We have to be vulnerable. We might have to move out of our comfort zones and not sit next to the same people and get to know other people, which if we're introverts, we might find that quite hard. It can be quite sacrificial. It requires a generous spirit. We like the idea of being a growing church, but actually, are we prepared to be a growing church and what that might mean, how that might change things? I hope we are, in God's strength, willing to consider that. And the second thing is something that I feel that God's been making clearer to me, is that I actually think there's some degree that we are a church where we need a bit of healing. We need a bit of healing. I want to thank everyone last Sunday for our all-age service who joined in, who filled in a sheep. I think nearly everyone did. There were some scribbles from crayons. There were some very simple answers, and there were some really in-depth ones. Now, those aren't going any further, but Jan and I, we decided we'd like to pray through those, and I prayed through them this week. Jan's going to pray through them this week. And most of them, I didn't know who they were because they were anonymous. And some of them, I can guess, members of my family and handwriting and stuff like that. But what was amazing is, well, there were a lot of just very simple things. We were thinking about how we need God to be reaching into those parts of our life. Is actually, there's quite a lot of pain. Actually, a lot of people are going through, either in their own life or in family lives and stuff, things that are hard. And I'm really picking up on that. And I just wonder if there's a sense that, you know, whether it's things that we've been through recently or perhaps a long time ago, we need some healing, all of us. Because a church family is the kind of place where if one person experiences pain, well, everyone else feels that too. In fact, Paul says in the Bible, he says, weep with those who weep and to rejoice with those who rejoice. And that's a command, but it's also a natural thing. When people you love and care about are going through something hard, it hurts, doesn't it? You feel it too. That's what compassion is, as a gift of God. But alongside, when things are going well for someone, we want to rejoice for that as well. But I've noticed that there's that sense of needing healing, individual and as a church family. So what is the solution to these two challenges? How do we grow well and how do we experience healing? Well, actually, the great news in God's provision, the answers are found in the Bible, in John 15, in those verses that we've read. And the way that we experience healing and growth is we stick with what Jesus says here. I am the vine. I am the vine. Now, the vine was an Old Testament image of the people of Israel, of these people, thousands and thousands of people chosen by God for a special purpose. And Jesus uses that language to describe himself. He is the true Israel. He is the perfect Israelite. This was fulfilled in Jesus. But I want you to think about a vine. Maybe you're going to go on holiday this year, or there's actually more and more vineyards turning up around here, and Sussex getting a bit of a name as all these English sparkling wines and stuff like this. Perhaps you'll see a vineyard this year. And think about a vine for a moment. And the vine is where all the life comes through the roots into the vine and out into the fruit. Jesus uses this to describe himself. He is the source. He is the life giver. All the nutrients, all the goodness, all the life comes through him. He is the root of everything. In fact, someone wrote a book a few years ago called The Trellis and the Vine, describing what churches are like. And they kind of divide up the life of the church into these two places. And vine work is stuff like kingdom work. That's seeing people come in, that's seeing people grow in their faith, being sent out and doing other things as well, living changed lives. That's vine work. But also, a vine is supported by a trellis. You know, the wooden thing with struts. We put a trellis up on the side of the garage last year. It seems to be holding, despite the fact I put it up. And the trellis holds the things up. But it's you don't go, oh, what a lovely trellis. You go, no, it's about the vine. The trellis is there to support it. And a lot of the stuff in the church is like the trellis. It's the structures that support it. Important stuff. But the challenge from this book is sometimes we can get so distracted by the trellis, the structures, we actually forget about the vine. Now, I don't think that's happening here at St. Peter's, but it's always something that we need to keep in mind, that we don't take our eyes off the vine and just so focus on the trellis, because that's temporary stuff. You know, the things of how a church runs, they're important, but we're not going to be talking about those in 1,000 years' time. But actually, the vine work is eternal. What Jesus is doing in and through us lasts for eternity. And the trellis always works best when it's supporting a healthy vine. So what does it mean for us to be St. Peter's on the vine? Well, there are four words here that I think will help us as we're thinking about St. Peter's on the vine and a healing, growing church. The first to do with healing, second to do with growing. The first one is pruning. Have a look, John 15, verse 1 to 2. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. So we are lesson one on how to grow a vine. It involves pruning. But what does pruning mean in our context? St. Peter's on the vine. Well, to be in the vine is to be part of Jesus' forever family. And when you look around today, this is a temporal illustration of what it looks like to be part of Jesus' family here in this patch of Hove. Okay? But to be in the vine is to be part of Jesus' forever family, stretching back and forward in time all the way throughout the world. And Jesus says his Father, he's like a keen-eyed gardener. I know we've got some keen-eyed gardeners here at St. Peter's. Well, God the Father is like a keen-eyed gardener. And if someone says they belong to Jesus, but there's no fruit in their life, well, Jesus is saying it's a little bit like they're like a branch that's no good on the vine. It's just taking up resources, but actually it's not doing anything good. And at some point, he's going to cut them off. That they will lose out of the benefits of belonging to this vine. But here's the thing. I bet if you are a vine, pruning probably feels a lot like being cut off. So how does this relate to healing? Well, I think this has got an important lesson for us. If we go through some kind of pain, whether that's physical, mental, or spiritual pain, it's quite normal to ask those questions. Why is this happening to me? Is it my fault? Is it something I've done? Is God to blame? Well, we don't always know the answers to those questions. But what we do know is that for people who are in the vine, who are disciples, who are following Jesus, that is never just being cut off and left to die. That is being pruned to be more fruitful. But pruning hurts, I imagine. But it's necessary for us to become more fruitful. We might never understand that in this life, but that's what Jesus is saying is true. We are pruned to become more fruitful. So for us to experience healing here at St. Peter's, we need to realize that sometimes pain can actually be God's pruning. It doesn't mean that we should go after pain like some kind of masochist, but it means that actually when we go through painful things, as we will do because life is painful, that we understand when we stay close to Jesus, he's using that to prune us, to actually make us more fruitful, actually to make us more holy, more useful, and more like him. So that's the first word, what it means for us to be on the vine, healing, pruning. Second word, cleansing. Verse 3, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And it's true, isn't it? Jesus' words bring life and freedom. They bring life and freedom. If you read the Gospels, you'll see how Jesus had this amazing effect on all these different people that he met with. Some of them went dancing on their way and just couldn't help but telling anyone what's happened when they had been cleansed by him, sometimes from physical ailments, but sometimes mental and spiritual things too. But there were others who chose not to embrace his words. We know that. We know, like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't really like what Jesus was saying, but they chose to grumble and scheme and eventually hand him over to be crucified. And actually, the same is true today. People, there's no real middle way with Jesus' words. We either accept them and believe them, or we reject them and don't believe them. The good news is, if we accept them, Jesus says, that cleanses us. It cleans us from all sorts of things. It cleanses us from our sin, but it cleanses us from things in life, perhaps things that we've done years and years ago, perhaps things that were done to us, and we still feel kind of we're carrying them as baggage. Jesus' words promise to cleanse us from those things. Cleansing for us involves the process of laying down all our guilt and shame at the foot of the cross and receiving his total forgiveness and grace. People in our world, they're looking for freedom. They're looking for cleansing. And Jesus says, come to me, I can cleanse you. Give you grace to lead a new life, not marked by the stain of our failures and regrets. God doesn't see those anymore when we come to Jesus. It's as if we'd never done them. So that means we never need to feel ashamed to be here at church. We're all sinners who need saving. And we're not a hotel. We don't come to church once things start going well, we've sorted out our life. Then I'll go back to church. I've heard that told to me time and time again. And it breaks my heart. Church isn't a hotel for people who've got things together. Church is a hospital for people who know they need a saviour. So let our healing then involve trusting Jesus' words and being cleansed by them. So we need to be prepared for pruning and cleansing if we want to be a healing church. And we'll think about more about this in the weeks and months to come. Now, if we want to be a growing church, we need to do two things. The first thing, abiding. Verses 4 and 6, Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. And whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a branch that's cut off, thrown into the fire and burned. I don't just want to be discarded with because I'm not useful. Well, Jesus says, this is a warning. He says, in that case, stick with me, remain with me, stay close to me, and I will keep you safe. So the secret to being a growing church is being rooted in making sure that we are abiding or remaining in Jesus. Because we see that the consequences of not remaining are devastating. We look around our country and we see empty churches where people haven't abided. There are all sorts of reasons perhaps why those churches have had to close down. Maybe it's been a change in geography and all those things. But sometimes it may just be the fact that they haven't abided in Jesus. And this isn't easy because we face big pressures. I face pressures, you face pressures, not to stay close to Jesus. Pressures on the outside, pressures on the inside, and pressures down there. So the Bible describes this as the world, the flesh, and the devil. So each day when we wake up, we must make that decision. I'm going to abide in Christ. I'm going to remain with Christ, remain with Jesus. But what if you slip up or have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month? Well, he says, abide in me as I abide in you. You see, this is two ways. Jesus is in us, living in us. Really, he is 100% committed to sticking with us through all our ups and downs. He describes himself as the perfect bridegroom who keeps his promises. So don't give up on him, because he won't give up on you. And I've been able to see in this last year people abiding, remaining with Jesus through tough times. through the death of a loved one, through illness, through all kinds of stress and anxiety, remaining with Jesus. So let their example spur you on to do the same. We do it together. Don't give up. And the last thing, fruitfulness, verses 5 and 8. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. What does Jesus want us to do as we remain in him? He wants us to bear fruit. That's the whole point. That's why we are saved, so that we will bear fruit. We read all about what fruit means in the Bible and can't do it all justice, but we read about the fruit of the Spirit, things that happen in the life of believers naturally as we stay close to Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And we see fruit in different places. You can bear fruit at school, at the bus stop, at work, at college, at uni, in the hospital, at home, walking along the road, not just in church. We can bear fruit for Jesus wherever we are, in any situation. So be mindful of that. When you're in those situations, remember Jesus. Remember to remain with him. Remember that he is there helping you. And remember to ask to be fruitful. Who knows what that might look like? It's exciting. But we can't do any of this without him. That's what he's saying. We need to stick with him and he will work through us. He promises to. Just stick close to him. Now, if this all sounds very new and you're wondering about becoming a follower, what it means for you to abide, for you to become a Christian, well, it's great that you're here. It's great that you're listening to that, whether in here or online. And as you're thinking about this, listen to these words from Jesus, that this is what he wants you to do. He wants you to follow him. It's like his arm is reached out to you. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? And it's saying that the God, the creator of the whole universe, who's made billions of galaxies that have got billions and billions of stars in each one, he is glorified when you come to his Son. That's what he wants you to do. And it's a powerful statement to the whole world. Something I think is happening in our nation, that actually more and more people are taking this seriously. A famous celebrity, I'm not going to say who they are, is getting baptized today, who's been on a journey. You might know who that person is. But more and more people, I think, are waking up to this call of Jesus saying to him, come, follow me, be my disciple, remain with me and bear fruit. So how does Jesus, the true vine, make us a healing, growing church? Well, through pruning and cleansing all the muck and the hurt out of our life, and by helping us to abide in him and to be fruitful. So St. Peter's on the vine, a family church, with Jesus at his heart. Amen.